Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome. This is Access Astrology on Blog Talk Radio. We are three astrologers who get together and chat about what's going on in the heavens and how that's being reflected on the earth, in our lives, and among the people around us. This is Mark Waltz. I'm in New York City, in Manhattan, over on the west side. And over there on the east side is...
Ann Ornley at my bright red desk. And Mark, we're having a snowstorm. It's like so exciting. We're having
it
a snowstorm here in New York in the middle of March, huh?
Yeah, it turned to rain over on the west side.
Oh, is it? It's still snow on my side of town. I came home from dinner tonight and I was like, what is all this snow? I didn't have my boots on. Okay,
yeah,
so I'm on the east side.
I came in about 8:30 and it was snow, but I looked out the window about an hour ago and it was sort of rain and the snow was gone.
The snow is gone, okay.
Yep.
And then out there in the far west.
This is Heather Rowan Robbins from Minnesota. We were just at the edge of a blizzard. It was, 2 hours from here, they got about 10 inches.
Wow.
And we got about 5, and it is about 15 degrees tonight. Woohoo! Yeah, ready for spring.
Ready for spring. Like, what the heck?
I still had a big St. Patrick's Day parade this weekend, even though everybody froze in the process. St. Patrick's here is falling in the street drunk mess.
Mm-hmm.
But except for that, but there was good Irish music around town.
It
stayed away from downtown St. Paul right as the parade got over.
It's amateur drinking night,
New York has started up a very nice celebration called Sober St. Patrick's.
Really?
And with a lot of good music and dance and local groups.
That's how to do it.
Oh, I completely missed that. That's cool. Because I just kind of stay home because they're so crazy out there.
Yeah, watch for next year.
Okay.
The Irish think it's crazy because they don't celebrate St. Patrick's like this.
No, I know.
Right, no, not at all.
They kind of like, what do you people do?
Right.
Really?
I do think it's strange, really. Yeah.
You think that's how we celebrate over in Ireland, huh? I don't think so.
That's America.
Right.
Yeah.
We have our own versions of the things, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, can you feel the difference with all the planets heading into Aries?
Yes, I'm so happy. Yes. Not that I don't like Pisces.
Yep. We have the big Aries ingress. Ingress coming up Wednesday.
Yes, we do.
And
Mars
really nice
is already solidly there.
Yeah, and on the East Coast, it'll happen at sunrise. 7:02 in the morning.
That's perfect.
So we have the sun right at the ascendant. With the last degree of Pisces rising and that whole load of planets in the first house. Venus actually is right at the end of Pisces.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get the Sun and Mars and Uranus all together in early Aries. So it's quite auspicious, and it signals a lot of action coming up in the next 3 months.
Mm-hmm. It does indeed.
We shall be busy.
It is going to be, quite a lineup. And that full moon coming up next week is directly involved with Uranus and Pluto. It's going to be an interesting couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that moon in this Aries ingress chart is opposite to Pluto and square to Uranus. It's talking to that whole thing. And when it becomes full, it'll be opposite to the Uranus and square to the Pluto.
That's going to be moving in there. It's going to be intense. I'm wondering how, I see North Korea bubbling right now over imaginary faults, and everybody's saber rattling. I wonder what else is going to come up.
Cyprus.
Wild cards. It's really not a predictable pattern.
Right. Well, with Cyprus, there's, the Cyprus chart is right on the world axis. And the eclipse, the ingress is really stimulating it. So, they just said they're going to take 10% out of everybody's bank account. I mean, they keep changing the numbers. But the rich people are going to pay 20 and the poor people are going to pay 10, and they're just going to suck it out of their account to guarantee the loans. And so they're having a run on the banks, and they've shut the banks for the last couple of days. But, you know, if you got up one morning and Chase said to you, or Bank of America said to you, oh, we just took 20% of your money out of your account because we can, it's going to totally, you know, set off a huge bunch of stuff going in. It was on front page in the Times this morning, so I'm like, what are these people thinking? You know, and it's such a violation
as
of trust.
Mercury was stationary.
Huh? Yeah.
As Mercury was stationary.
Yes. Such a violation of trust. I give you my money and you're going to take it, so... So I think that'll be really rocking too, because the banks are closed today and tomorrow, yesterday, today and tomorrow, and they're opening again on Wednesday. So there'll be everybody there bright and early going, "Give me my money." So it's kind of like it's a wonderful life when they ran the banks.
Wow, I think I might go get some, even though I don't have any in there.
Yeah, well, apparently Cyprus is a big place for the oligarchs in Russia to park their money. So it's got like three times, and you know, like not the people that are living there. They have liberal banking laws, so they have a lot of people that store their money there that don't necessarily live there. So, of course, that could cause a little problem with Putin, and you know, if they start taking the Russians' money.
Sure, that's where Pluto comes into the picture.
That's where Pluto comes into the picture, right?
Right, because
We're hiding our money offshore, and you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So I see that, you know, already I can feel myself a little twitchy, I who am normally a fairly patient person for a moment. And I just find that I lose my patience, and I get it back. My mind is still feeling, you know, open-minded and squishy and Piscean, but I just have these little twitches of impatience. That's with just Mars and Aries.
Yeah.
And Venus and the Sun are heading in there.
This week, Venus and the Sun are going in, yeah.
And so I'm just wanting everybody to notice that, how quickly we argue at the moment. Just enthusiastic, it's energetic, it's not going to put up with things anymore, but to be careful what we stomp off, where we snap, where we forget that, you know, the people with us are more important than how fast something gets done.
Or whether somebody's listening to you. You know, there's a lot of impatience.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
I told you to do that. It's like, I know, but I didn't do it. So what are you giving me a hard time for? You know, now I'm listening to you. You know, it's allowing people to have their time, but people are really jumping. You know, it's literally Mars and Aries is jumping the gun. I told you. It's like, okay, so you told me. Like, smoke a peace pipe and get back to me in 5 minutes, you know? Like, a little ganja, maybe? You're a little temperamental. But, yes, people are feeling really, you know, like they need to. And also with the Uranus-Mars, which is the end of the week, it's much more the need to take action, do anything. I have, you know, like almost a hopping out of your skin. So it's a really interesting week. So I'm kind of looking forward to it.
Yep.
And Mercury is, so since Mercury went direct today,
I got my phone back.
Yesterday, I mean, you got your phone back.
Mm-hmm.
It went direct late last night. It was some lovely screw ups over the weekend, but I see that this is the week to get everything straightened out. If you've had misunderstandings, if you've screwed up an order, if you've lost a package, if you've just, you know, I was at, we had the Pagan Conference here at Paganicon last weekend, and one wonderful writer wrote a book called The Woman Magician, and they printed off a couple thousand extra books, brought it them there, and the inside was upside down from the cover.
Oh, wow. Mm.
And it had been just printed that week, so it was the contents and the cover were reversed. And it was just a misprint. I mean, I've seen it, and I've heard it happening where the content was German and the cover was English, you know. But this was just upside
content down. Was there, but it just, you had to read the book upside down.
Right, you know. Was that part of the magic? I don't know.
Well, it makes you look really smart if you can read upside down. They used to actually teach me that when we were in sales. They taught you...
Yes.
to go in and read upside down, and, you know, you'd be calling on an executive, and then you read the papers on their desk so you'd know what was going on. And I'm like, really? Isn't that invasive of privacy? And they were like, no, you really find out really important things. It's worth learning how to do it. And, you know, I'm very good at reading upside down as a result of it.
I think astrology is helpful because you can read a chart when you're I always can put that to my dyslexia.
Yes.
But I can read a chart upside down and sideways. Just don't ask me to do linear math.
Right.
That it's helpful to be able to read it while you're pointing it to somebody else. And we can think more three-dimensionally that way.
Yeah. So that's cool. Wow. So it's an interesting week.
And, you know, since this energy is so strong, it will be behind anything that we want to begin this week. So if we have letters to send, proposals to send, houses to buy, projects to start, especially as, you know, after the spring equinox and after next week's full moon, there's a lot of energy building up. What do we want to put it behind? Can it take us to do something exciting? Can it be wind in the sails of our projects?
Totally.
If there is a big argument, if your family keeps going back to the same argument over and over again, and you just know that it's a sore spot, I would avoid it for the next few weeks, because people will have this kind of feisty energy and they'll look for a story to put it in. So, you know, why keep it away from tender things? Don't bring up old slights. Don't bring up, you know, the normal difficulties. See if you can see each other in the best light and put this feistiness to work to tackle problems and solve, find solutions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because a lot of times you're going to find it fuels you wanting to take off and punch somebody or, you know, yell at somebody or something, but better to take that energy because it is so strong and just go, you know what, I'm not going to deal with that. I'm just going to send it over here and launch something, you know, because it's very good launching time. So,
yes.
Good to get it out in the air. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mark, what do you think about the Venus and Aries right after the Sun? Because next week they join up, too. And we had that conference with Ariel, and we're having the Venus conjunction with the Sun. So what do you, right. How do you see that working? Because she doesn't like the Sun.
Venus?
Venus doesn't like Aries, rather.
It doesn't like Aries. Yeah,
yeah.
It likes the Sun, but
yeah.
not Aries. Well, actually, I always figure being an Aries, right? That Venus doesn't not like Aries, but just finds it hard to handle that energy.
Right.
So, you know, but one thing I think Venus is always aware of is that following Aries is Taurus. So, you know,
one of his favorite signs, yes.
Yeah, she has to get through Aries, and then she can settle down in Taurus. And so if it's kind of a wild ride, that's still okay because she's going to land in Taurus.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that makes it okay for Venus. And, you know, but it does get kind of wild when you throw so much impulsiveness into a more calm energy, it throws everything off. So you get what you end up with is a kind of self-defined inappropriateness,
mm-hmm.
And it's really more self-defined because I think when people feel Venus and Aries coming at them, they're kind of intrigued and interested and, you know, willing to see what's on offer. But Venus and Aries, from your own perspective, you feel like, oh, I'm being inappropriate here. This is too much. I wish I hadn't said, you know, so much or offered so much or asked so much. You know, what got into me, right? That kind of thing. And it's really, though, more what the person themselves is feeling, not so much where it's going to go. Because the world can handle a lot more Venus and Aries than we're willing to go with. So my general advice is just go ahead and be surprised for the next, you know, period of Venus moving through Aries, and then realize that it will all slow down as Venus goes into Taurus, and there's a big sigh of relief.
Yeah, it kind of calming. Taurus is calming influence on Venus.
Yeah.
It says, oh, it's okay. You're going to be fine. Calms are right down. Yeah. It's very cool. I like Venus and Aries energy. I actually have a number of friends with it. I find they tend to be really direct and straightforward, and you know, you never worry. I mean, if they really need to yell at you, they will. But then they're kind of like, okay, you know, I'm done. It's just very straightforward Venus.
Yeah, and it doesn't hold on to anything.
No, she doesn't hold grudges. No grudges.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I have found that Venus and Aries tend to fall in love easily, fall out of love easily, and have kind of an emotional passion to their work.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. That it can inspires, you know, that it's a heart aflame. It is spring fever in relationships when Venus hits into Aries. I find people, you know, in the youthful days when people fell madly in love and at first sight, that this is the time of year that it happens.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And if they're not, they're out looking.
Right.
So it's that heart restlessness. And if you want to take that and deepen a relationship that you're already in, you want to find ways of, you know, doing something fresh and new, because Aries usually doesn't tend to do well with repetition or familiar.
Mm-hmm.
So stepping into fresh and new and alive circumstances with someone that you love and you've been with for 30 years or, you know, old friends, that
mm-hmm.
just kind of, how do you bring that freshness to it right now and bring that sense of adventure together?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you create like secret little things that are kind of, ooh, this mm-hmm. is really stimulating to our relationship, isn't it? Because it's this is a really good time to introduce those kinds of new energies too.
Yeah.
Because Venus is I want to be a hot girl.
That week, and I think that's going to be, we're going to travel someplace that we haven't been before, and that's
right.
a good use of that energy.
Yeah, because Heather's...
There's many different ways of doing that.
Right, Heather's going off to the beach and stimulating her Venus down there.
Yes.
Which is always fun.
Hopefully, yes.
Let's stimulate that Venus. I like that, you know, so...
Yeah.
Having an adventure travel. It's all good. All right. So any other things we want to say about the week before we take some callers? We have callers on the line.
I think it'd be good to take callers.
Okay. Mark, you too?
Yep.
Okay, cool.
Yep.
All right. If you've called before, we're going to ask you to dance because we have a few people in the queue. Hi, 416. You're on the air. Can you hear me?
Hi there.
Hi. Did you have a question for us?
Yes, please.
What's your birthday?
June 6, 1978.
Okay, June 6, 1978. And what time?
1:45 p.m.
And where?
In Hungary, and the city is KECSEMET.
And we've done your chart before, but it's been a while. So what?
Yeah.
What is
and
your question tonight?
I live in
tonight?
Toronto. The question the question would be twofold. One is, I have been at a halt seemingly for way too long, and I feel like I have this burst of energy I'd like to put towards something professional-wise,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know what it should be. And the other part of the question would be about a romantic relationship that is basically the love of my life, and we also have hit a point where, because of miscommunication, we kind of fell apart. And
was that over the last few weeks? Over the last few months?
Yes, last few weeks between mid-January and now.
Right, between trying to straighten out. This is the week Mercury is direct. Of just going back to understand what the other person meant.
Right.
Okay.
And how important that is right now, and how important it is to be patient. You've got Mars, you know, as all these planets head into Aries, they'll be heading into your seventh house of partnership. So I think your whole partnership question will really start heating up next week.
This
so
week or
it may, it's a good time to connect with reconnect with each other and either, you know, either make up or break up, but not just sort of be, at the moment, you're sort of off in your separate corners pouting.
Yeah.
Or, you know, upset about this. And I think you need to see if you can really just not, don't try to be understood. Try to understand. And then ask afterwards, look, I would say I will really try to understand you, and I ask you to try to understand me. But you may have to go first and try to understand the other person and really put them at the center and see it from their perspective before you speak up. And your work looks like it's, you know, really supporting you if you can figure out what you want to do with it.
It's a very, very good year for work for you, really coming into a whole new chapter of work, especially once we get a little more into the summer. So the work part looks really nice, so I wouldn't worry about it. I mean, right now you're kind of finishing up a 12-year cycle. If you think back to 2001 and 89, each of those years, 89 would have been your dad or your mom having a work change. But each of those years were big years for you to kind of identify who you were and what you were doing. So this year is also a year where you're wrapping up a 12-year cycle around how you show up in the world, your ego purpose, your career direction, what you want to do, and a little more later in the spring is emotionally what's available for you. And where do you want to head? So it's a good time to kind of do really conscious dreaming. A lot of times your chart kind of gets busy and kind of does stuff. You know, it doesn't necessarily take time to think about it. It runs around and does a lot of things. So this is a really good time to kind of take a little like, okay, what's my dream of what I want? You know, because there's a lot of planets right now in the house of your creativity. With the Pisces planets, and then they're shifting into Aries, which is, okay, how do I actually do it? So there's a lot of energy around what's the dream and how do I do it? So I think it's, you know, it's full steam ahead, especially in about 2-3 weeks from now. Mark, what do you see?
Have you been doing the visualizing part of it, like really asking yourself, you know, like taking the time to say, what is my vision, where am I going to apply my energy? Because that's really what you want to be doing. Like, take that step and let it be in a quiet time. And then whatever really seems the strongest for you, then put your energy into that. And, you know, don't hesitate. You're where you're having difficulties when you hesitate, wanting the vision to be, like, really clear and laid out for you. And it's more you have to decide whether it's dim or clear that your vision is in a certain direction and then just start going there.
Do you see at all a move or relocation? Because I also feel like something is telling me to leave from where I live.
Yeah, Pluto, it may not happen right this year. I have a feeling it maybe more next year than this year. But the very bottom of your chart, the taproot, is at 14 degrees of Capricorn, and Pluto is coming up to it. Pluto's going to back off and then hit it again next year as Uranus squares it. And that usually changes the roots of your life. I have a feeling, you know, you could change now, but it just may take you a while to settle in the new place.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a feeling you're just feeling discontent with where you are and know that it's time to move. And it may be a big move with Pluto down there at the bottom of your chart.
Mm-hmm.
It may be a big move, but see if you can move to a place that's calling you or you have connections with, because you can feel kind of lonely with Pluto at the bottom of your chart. And it could be lonely, you know, if you stay or lonely if you go. It doesn't really, you know, it's one way or the other. But it helps to have a way of engaging the world in the process.
Okay.
Cool. Any other questions? We'll take the next call. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Bye. Good luck.
You're welcome.
Bye. Hi 440, you're on the air. Any questions? What's up?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Hello. We can hear you.
Hi, yes, you can. Awesome. Cool. Birthday is April 9th, 1983.
April 9th, 1983.
At 5:01 PM.
Mm-hmm.
In Painesville, Ohio.
In Painesville is in Lake County?
Yes.
All right, cool. Anne, what's your question?
My question is, Anne, you had told me in a reading one time that I have a finger of God in my chart.
Yep. Uh-huh.
And I was wondering how the finger of God now is affecting the one in my natal chart, because I'm going through a lot of crap.
Yeah, it happens. When there's a when you have a natal configuration, and this applies to any natal configuration that you have in your chart, if you have a T-square or a mystic rectangle or whatever, when there's one in the heavens, your natal chart has a resonance, kind of like the drum sounding, kind of rums next to it. So you have a finger of God in your chart, which, of course, is the chart takes you where it wants you to go, and it kind of guides you. So because there's one in the heavens that's been there since December 4th and is there through the end of the month, it's very much about we're getting on new path. So your finger of God is geared up with your Venus and your Chiron, which is the direction around love and relationships and how you're valued, and also tied to your spiritual faith or lack thereof, your Neptunian practices. Neptune can be drugs, alcohol, spirit, dance, travel, wisdom seeking, knowledge, understanding. So you're coming in with a past life that said, I'm a knowledge seeker, and I really need to understand the value of love in this lifetime, as opposed to just esoteric wisdom. And so the finger of God right now in the heavens is really kind of pointing into the house of esoteric wisdom, and it's saying to you, so, like, what's the deal? What do you want to do about this? Plus, you just had your Saturn return, which is when the universe comes to you and says, what do you want to be when you grow up? Because as far as we're concerned, you're cooked. And so what you're having now is really life-directional choices. And part of your job with Gemini Midheaven is to do multiple things. And another part of your life is to really make it be meaningful. It has to be work that you truly find meaningful, or you really can't do it. So the finger of God right now is going, is your work meaningful? Do you find it meaningful? If you don't find it meaningful, you better change. And that's
and
why
that's,
your butt's getting kicked.
Saturn going through your second house, your
yes.
whole approach to your material world is really being reorganized.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Has a lot of the crap that you've been dealing with been related to your money and material support as well?
Totally.
As,
I'm not making money right now. I'm going through a really, really
right.
difficult music program, school program. Like, I play drums, mm-hmm. so it's a year and a half, really, really intense college program. And I'm having conflict because I don't really want to do it. It's not really in my heart. You know, like, I'm having a really hard time physically, mentally going through it. I only have
is
6 months left.
Is the program
so I wanna...
hard, or it's like you just hate to take, you hate to be told what to do?
The program
you know?
Is hard.
So, yeah. But
yeah,
is it? But
is
that hard doesn't really bother you, per se. So I don't know if your heart's not into it, or is it just not the way that you learn?
It's not the way that I learn. And I think that I just want to do other things. You know, like I'm getting scared about not making money. I want to
right.
get out and play, and you know, I'm just scared about what's going to happen after the program.
So
and
why
I'm not
did you go into
thing.
This? Not many
just
people go into an intensive music program because someone made them do it.
No, nobody made me do it. I did it on my
right.
own. It was kind of just a life directional choice. I'm glad that I'm here. I'm glad that I'm in it. It's just, it was just a really difficult couple months.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think that there's been a couple, you've been going through some really unsettled time. Your progressed moon went over Uranus. There's been a lot that's turning you up. And I think there's a huge amount of problems about self-worth. And without making money, you don't know that you matter. And that finding a purpose for doing your music that is not feeling frivolous to you. You know, whether you're doing music therapy, volunteering while you're doing this, so that you kind of like wake up and remember that this is your dream, and you've kind of forgotten why you're doing this.
Right.
And
yeah,
you've
and the music program
you're
is,
never going to do anything just from you're
right.
scared, honey. I don't see
yeah.
you in the wrong place.
That's good. Yeah, I mean, with the self-worth thing, like the program really has kind of shot my confidence down a lot
right.
and my beliefs in myself, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as Anne points out, you're here. This is your karmic nexus. You're here to, you know, your wounding came in around your love of the arts and your sense of worth around that, and you're here to break through that and know that you matter.
Yeah.
It's going to get easier for you once you push past this place. Because you are really pushing yourself out of your comfort zone, but you are growing by leaps and bounds because of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what you'll find when you're on the other side of the finger is that you're like, okay, I pushed through it and it was fine, but it wasn't easy, but I got there. And it's also, we're going to blend it in with your Saturn return, which is a little existential, what am I doing? Saturn through the second, a lot of times, is you're pursuing a path that will ultimately pay off but doesn't pay off right now.
Right.
Or that says to you, okay, so what's the vision? You know, what's the dream? What's the vision? And that piece is missing. You have to kind of sit with it and say, well, what was my vision again? You know, and I took the loan out or I'm committed to this. Let me finish it. Let me understand that whatever brought me here and brought me into this was my finger. Your finger of God would have blocked you if you weren't supposed to go there.
Right.
So there's something in it that's very much tied to, you know, this is a necessary process. And oftentimes on the other side of the transition or the period of time that we're under stress, we go, oh, that's what it was for, which we're unable to see when we're in the middle of the mix.
Yeah, so,
and
normally, like it's tied into spirituality as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
So maybe playing in a church or playing in, you know, going to an old age home and playing drumming there with the old, you know, these people, or working with music in some way where you're feeling you're making a contribution to the spirituality of music rather than the money of music or the proper way to play or whatever, where you're doing your own thing and you're happy in your tribal piece. You're back with your tribe, you're back with your peeps. Because there's also a loneliness going on right now. There's something with these people that you feel like, you know, you look at them and you go, "Why? Who are you? You're not my people." Mm. They're not your people, but that's okay.
But you're growing.
You're
being stretched. It's a one giant range of motion exercise.
Yeah, yeah. And on the other end, you'll actually be grateful for it. When my sister takes golf, you know, she never takes a golf lesson before she's going to play a tournament because it always screws up your game. When they start tinkering with the stuff that you think you know how to do, there's a falling apart. We see it with Tiger Woods. Every few years he reinvents his stroke and he blows his game to hell for a while. And then he goes, okay, I've reinvented my game. That's what you're doing here. You're reinventing your game. If you think of it that way, it won't be so hard.
That's a good way to think of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, you never take
a golf lesson right before a tournament because it screws up your stroke. So you're supposed to have it all follow up part. And then go, okay, so, like, what did I learn? You know? And that's a good thing. So.
Awesome. Very cool. Thank you, guys.
You're welcome.
Okay, you're welcome. And
all right.
That's it for tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Saying thanks for tuning in. This is Mark Wolf in New York City.
Mm-hmm. And Ann Ortley in New York City.
And Heather Owen Robbins in Minnesota.
And Mark is speaking this week at the Astrology Day on Friday at the Source of Life, which moved. So feel free to come by. He's going to be talking about Mercury retrograde, right, Mark?
Yes.
Yeah.
Correct.
And then Mark and I talk at the Church of the Transfiguration every Tuesday. And Heather, are you doing anything this week?
And I'm leaving town for a week, and I'll meet back from sunny Mexico and out of my blizzard here in 2 weeks.
Cool.
Okay.
Have a really good trip.
All right.
Thank you.
Climb
the
mountain.
Have a wonderful week.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Have a good week. Remember, hang in there. Lots of changes.
Yep.
All right. Bye.